Lesson 7, and we're on page 112. We're looking at the work of the Holy Spirit tonight. So turn to page 112 in your binder, and turn in your booklet to page 31, please. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit tonight exclusively. The last 2 weeks we've talked about the work of Jesus, His humiliation, and His exaltation. Tonight only, the whole night, about the work of the Holy Spirit. People have a hard time picturing the Holy Spirit. You think of the Father in heaven and you have these paintings of a man with a white beard and a throne, right? It's easy to picture Jesus because of all the paintings of Jesus, all the things that He did and hanging the cross. But then the Holy Spirit, people draw a blank. And some of the symbols for the Holy Spirit are a dove, because the Spirit came down like a dove upon Jesus at His baptism. Another symbol is wind, because at Pentecost, the sound of a rushing wind. And of course, the tongues of fire. We're going to read Acts chapter 2 today. At Pentecost, tongues of fire on their head as they spoke in other languages. I'll just begin before we say the prayer. The Holy Spirit, Jesus compares to the wind. He says, the Holy Spirit, He says, is like the wind. You go outside, you see the leaves rustling in the trees. You can't see the wind, but you see the effect of the wind. You can't see the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's invisible. But you see the effect of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of people who believe in Christ, who love Him, they love one another. We are like the leaves in the trees that rustle, and the Spirit is like the wind that blows. You can't see the Spirit, but oh boy, how powerful the Holy Spirit is. You're going to see tonight how amazing it is, the work of the Holy Spirit. So, on page 112, let us pray the prayer under the picture of Jesus, the sower of the seed. Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, we pray, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us speak together on page 116 in your text. The entire third article in the meeting, and take your pencil or whatever and put a box around the whole third article and the meaning. And we are now going to speak the third article and the meaning together. Together? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let me ask if anybody here actually went through like confirmation class when you were in eighth grade. Raise your hand if you did. Now, those of you who haven't, something you need to know is there was a point in our confirmation instruction when the pastor expected us to know everything you just read, the whole thing memorized. Everything you see here. Remember that? Guys, I bet you did.
Oh, no. Yeah, we did a lot of memorized. I just don't remember.
Yeah. At the time, you probably had to know it. Okay.
Yeah.
And the purpose of this is it describes the work of the Holy Spirit in a beautiful couple paragraphs, the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's begin now. on page 31 with the first picture here. Up at the top, put down by the third article, the three pictures that we have in the Bible of the Holy Spirit. Wind, fire, and the dove. The wind at Pentecost, like a rushing wind in the house. Fire, tongues of fire in their head, and the Spirit came down on Jesus like a dove. There are other names for the Holy Spirit. Put Counselor, Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is named many things in the Scripture. Now, just a little aside. When in the older King James they said, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the word pneuma in Greek can be translated ghost in the old King James English or spirit. And today it's more common to say Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost was the old King James. It's the same word. Now, right in the middle here, this is how it works. Do Father, arrow to the Son, arrow to the Holy Spirit, Spirit, Truth. And here's how it works. The Father, of course, at Christmas sent His Son, Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary. And we spent 2 weeks talking about the humiliation and the exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, Jesus ascended into heaven and promised that He would later send the Spirit of Truth. When we did that timeline for the exaltation of Christ, we saw that on the timeline, Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. For 40 days, He gave proofs that He was risen. Then Ascension Day was on a Thursday, 40 days after Easter, when He ascended into heaven. And He said, soon, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. 10 days later, which was Sunday, Pentecost, is when the Holy Spirit came at Acts chapter 2, which we will be looking at in detail tonight. Now that Spirit leads us into truth, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Now, in the working of the three persons of the Trinity, put the three connecting circles for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just abbreviate F, S, and H, S for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And number them 1, 2, and 3. And then put an arrow like this going around. The Father loves the Son loves the Spirit points us to the Father. This interworking between the Trinity becomes very clear tonight when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. Because, by the way, this is how God did it, but it works exactly in reverse for you and me. We're going to see that the Holy Spirit gives us the truth of God in the Holy Scriptures. And you're down here, and this is how it happens to you. You read the Scriptures, you are taught the Scriptures, you hear the Scriptures, you learn the truth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is working in that Word. And what's the Spirit pointing us to? Jesus the Son. And Jesus said, I come to do the work of the Father. So it comes to you like this. It's kind of like a telephone transmission. The line comes into your house, and the message is coming to you. But then when you speak back, it goes back. Now, the reason why we can have peace in our hearts is because when the Spirit comes, what we just read in the third article, He calls, enlightens, and sanctifies us, gathers us, keeps us with the whole Christian church on earth. And then down here, this Holy Spirit gives us eternal life, forgives our sins, richly gives us these blessings to us, to other believers, and the last day He will raise up all the dead and all believers in Christ. By the way, in the Greek, the word for counselor is paraclete. I'll teach you a word today. P-A-R-A-C-L-E-T-E. Paraclete is our counselor. Now, this Holy Spirit, put an arrow here, comes to us in the Word and sacraments. When we're finished with the work of the Holy Spirit and we get to the sacraments and we start talking about the sacraments, we'll have a clear understanding of what is baptism, what is absolution, what is the Lord's Supper. But this simple little diagram here says a lot. Put a stick figure for you, the Holy Spirit like a dove. And put an arrow from the Spirit to you in the Word, and a line from you to the Spirit in prayer. This is how the Christian life works. The Holy Spirit gives you the Word, and you speak to God through the Holy Spirit in prayer. My devotional book is written specifically for pastors. Devotional life is called By Word and Prayer. So in my devotion, first I read sections of the Old Testament, epistles, gospels, psalms, a hymn. Then I bring my prayers to God on behalf of myself, my congregation, the needs of which I'm aware. This is how the Holy Spirit works. We got the... Am I moving too fast? You guys got it?
Now turn to page 32. We're going to go through a couple of these, and then we're going to go back into the text and start looking at some scriptural texts on the work of the Holy Spirit.
Tonight, as we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, people think of the Holy Spirit, they say the word sanctification. And by sanctification, somewhere there, write the word set apart. I'll put it above it. Sanctify means to be set apart. Someone who believes in Christ is set apart from the rest of the world. That's what sanctification means. In fact, you can just kind of demonstrate that. I've got these pens here. Got all these different colored pens. So I take out the orange one and say, these are all the people in the world. This one's called out of the world and set over here. I've just sanctified that pen. I've just set it aside for some special purpose. So here's all the people in the world. The Holy Spirit calls us to faith, and He sets us apart from the rest of the world. So the word sanctify means set apart from the rest of the world, placed into the church. Now, of course, we've got the image of the dove. This is why. When the Holy Spirit came, you can write Holy Spirit by the dove, came down upon Jesus. In the New Testament, Jesus is called the bridegroom, and the church is called the bride. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. And heaven is compared to a wedding banquet and feast. Let's do the diagram first. Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. Now from the cross, go over to the shell with the three drops, write baptism. A shell is a symbol for baptism because shells by a shore or by a beach, you pick up a shell and you can pour water in. And three drops for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's one way the Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus, is in baptism. They'll go down here and point to the Bible and put O-T-N-T for Old Testament and New Testament. And that's the Word. And underneath it write, preached, taught, and then absolution. So another way the Spirit works, in addition to baptism, that Word of God, which by the way, the only reason why baptism in the Lord's Supper has any power is because the Word of God is present in baptism in the Lord's Supper. It's not magic. And we'll talk about that when we talk about the Lord's Supper. So, the Spirit is working when the Bible is being preached, even taught, and when you hear the word of absolution, your sins are forgiven. Then, of course, go over to the Lord's Supper. Right? Lord's Supper. By the cup, put chalice. And then put the word blood, because with the wine, Jesus gives us His blood. And by the host, which is the bread, put body, because with it, Christ gives us His body. When we'll have one whole session, actually I think we have two sessions on the Lord's Supper. And we'll talk extensively about how the Spirit works in the Lord's Supper. Now, this is what you need to know about Lutherans. The way we talk about things, so you know what we're, our lingo, every church has its own lingo, right? This is Lutheran lingo. I know this is hard to see, I apologize, right? Means of grace. Means of grace. And God gives us His Word, preaching and teaching, baptism, absolution, that's Holy Communion. When we talk about the means of grace as Lutherans, this is what we're talking about. That here you are, here's your family down here, here's Jesus, He died almost 2,000 years ago. The question for you is, how does what Jesus did that long ago, how does it actually enter into my life? And these are the means by which it does. What I mean by means is this. If you leave here tonight, and I forgot to tell you something, there's several means by which I can communicate with you. I could email you, call you on the cell phone, call you on the landline. I could drive my car and bang on your door and actually physically show up. I could send something in the carrier pigeon. Okay? Those are the most common ways of the means by which I can communicate with you. Do you notice how all those are a little bit different? Telephone call, cell phone, email, showing up in person. These are all those ways I can get you exactly the same message. I forgot to tell you such and such. But it's different means whereby you get the same message. These means all get you the same message. Christ crucified for you, Christ raised for you. Sins washed away in baptism. The word of forgiveness, the word of power, receive Christ's body and blood, all brings forgiveness into your heart. And so at the bottom here, I've got, here's God, here's your heart, here's other people. This is the means God gets this into your heart, are these means that we mentioned up here. It's just a picture of a heart and God coming to your heart. Now, if you have room at the bottom, put this little timeline. We talked about this last week, but it always is good to remind us of the timeline. Put the timeline, put Easter, then put 40 days, and ASC stands for Ascension, when Christ ascended. Then put 10 days, a Sunday, and put Pentecost. Pentecost was the day of the coming of the Spirit, the tongues of fire. So, for 40 days, Jesus gave many convincing proofs that He was risen, showed them His hands and side, ate with them, talked with them, taught them. Then for 10 days, after He visibly and physically ascended, they waited in Jerusalem until on a Sunday, a Jewish festival called Pentecost, which was a harvest festival, Christ came. The Holy Spirit came, excuse me. And the work of sanctification is the work, we think of the work of the Holy Spirit when we think of sanctification. Okay, so far so good. Okay, turn one more page, and then we're going to start looking at some text in your book. And turn to page 33. When this Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit creates the church. Above the church, right, invisible. The church, the communion of saints, is the invisible church of all ages. I'll explain that in a second. And the word church means called out ones. I want to teach you a Greek word, ekklesia, ek-klesia, K-L-E-S-I-A. The word church in the New Testament never refers to a building. It's referring to Christians. The church, we today use it, you know, as Trinity Lutheran Church, like it's the building. But the people in the building are the church, not the building. The people are the church. So, the called out ones of the church, call the communion of saints. And what we're going to see is the reason why it's invisible is this. It's all true believers in Christ. God knows who they are. The reason why there's an X there, it doesn't include hypocrites. They may show up for church, they may act like they're believers. You can't fool God. God knows they're not part of the true invisible church. It's all people who have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, but it doesn't come from only one denomination. You have true Christian believers in the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Baptist Church, Presbyterian, Anglican, Episcopalian. You're going to find true believers in all the denominations. By the way, none of the true Christian denominations will go around and say that only people that are going to heaven are people that are part of our denomination. None of them do that. Because when a group does that, they become a cult. The cults come along and tell you, you've got to be part of our little group, you know, or you're going to hell. All true believers in Christ can be found across denomination. Now, put this in the box. This is the key. Where is the church found? It's found where the gospel is preached in its purity and the holy sacraments are administered according to the gospel. True gospel is preached. Sacraments are being administered. There you see the evidence of the church being present. Of course, this includes members of many different denominations, of course. But it does not include unbelievers. It does not include false teachers or false churches. Well, what they mean is that, I'm not trying to pick on the Mormons, but Joseph Smith was a complete false teacher that started Mormonism. Joseph Smith teaches that we can all become gods, that Jesus was a man, and the devil and Jesus, I'm not making this up, the devil and Jesus were brothers, and they were people, and they worked their way up. Jesus became a good God, Satan became evil, and all of us, Jesus shows us how we can become gods. And one of the reasons why Mormon men have so many children is they're all going to get their own planet, and they can populate their own planet with their children. I am not making this up. This is all heresy. It's false teaching, and it's wrong. And so Joseph Smith, the founding of Mormonism, is not Christianity. By the way, Mormons will tell you they're Christians, but they are not. They are not Christians. They may be good people. They're wonderful people. I have a lot of Mormon friends. That's not the point. The point is, what do they believe and teach? And they do not teach Christianity. It's a cult, the Book of Mormon. And if you just read it for yourself. Then, this is what you got to realize. Guess what? The church includes the people that are already in heaven. Our loved ones who have died in Christ and gone to heaven, they are also part of the church. Before we take Holy Communion, I say with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, the church includes all the people who believe in Christ, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, who are already in heaven. The people who are on earth now, the church even includes the people that aren't even born yet. Now that'll blow your mind. Okay? So the church is vastly bigger than just the people that are walking around on planet Earth right now. The church is founded on the Christ and the teachings, the apostles in the New Testament, the prophets of the Old Testament. By the way, that's a code word in the Bible. In Ephesians it says the church is founded upon the prophets and the apostles. The prophets is a code word for the Old Testament. Apostles is word for the New Testament. And it's universal, and underneath the word universal, right, Catholic, small letter C. The word Catholic does not mean the Roman Catholic Church. When you say the Roman Catholic Church, that's the denomination called Roman Catholic. When you say Catholic, small letter C, that doesn't mean the Roman Catholic Church. The true Catholic Church is the universal church of all time. Guess what? The only way we can be in this church is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Everybody who is in this church is there because the Holy Spirit has brought this gospel to you and to me. Now, as we begin now before the break and look at a scriptural text and something from the book, just consider this reality of how powerful the Holy Spirit is. I would like to begin this way. Jesus came to earth, the Son of God in human flesh, had 12 disciples. After 3 years of this ministry, even after being raised from the dead, Jesus had about 500 main disciples who saw him raised. He had 500 people. And he said, now it's good for me that I ascend, because then the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The disciples didn't quite understand this. Jesus said, you're going to be even doing greater things than me. They didn't understand that. Well, how can that be with all those miracles? Christ ascends into heaven. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes down at Pentecost. And this is what happened in one day. Peter, we're going to read Acts chapter 2. Peter, who right before Easter had denied on Good Friday that he even knew Jesus, Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. Remember when Peter denied Jesus 3 times? Afraid of a little servant girl. A little servant girl. Weren't you with Jesus? Oh, I didn't even know him. I mean, big, tough, brave Peter. A little servant girl, and he's afraid. Okay, he denies Christ 3 times. He goes out, he weeps bitterly, and he is restored. Jesus restores him. He comes back to his senses, and okay, Peter is back in the fly. I'll grant you that. Came back. This guy, who had been this little scaredy cat with the servant girl, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit comes down upon him and the disciples, Peter gets up in front of all these people, thousands of people, and preaches this sermon, points at them and says, you crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. He was putting his life on the line in front of all these people. He preaches one sermon. This guy who had fallen from the faith for a day or so, back in Maundy, Thursday, 3,000 people came to faith. Why? The Holy Spirit was working. The Holy Spirit was just using the mouth of Peter to preach. So Christ, the Son of God, comes and has 500 people. Peter, this guy who denied Christ and then came to his senses, preaches one sermon in one day, and 3,000 people come to faith. It shows how powerful the work of the Holy Spirit is. Now there are millions and millions and billions of people who are Christians, and none of us have even, we believe in someone we've never seen with our eyes. I've never seen Jesus, but I claim that he's my Savior, that he died for me, that he rose from the dead. How is it all of us can believe in somebody we've never even seen? Because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, which points us to the work of Jesus. I mean, we know a lot about Jesus. When you're reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the Scripture. So when you're reading the details about Christ's life, that's the Holy Spirit working, pointing you to Christ, so that we believe in someone we haven't even seen. For good reason. I'm not mocking that. For good reason. We have good reason. There's plenty of evidence there of who Jesus is. The reason I'm saying this, the Holy Spirit's work is a great mystery to unbelievers, because your unbelieving friends look at you, people who are not Christians. You believe some guy that you've never seen forgave you your sins and is taking you to heaven when you die. Where did you come up with this? This is from an unbeliever's perspective. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Faith has not been created in their heart. They are spiritually blind. The guy in Israel, obviously, right now, who is spiritually blind like this, is this entertainer, Bill Maher. He has this new movie about atheism. He's going around religiosity or something. In the movie, he goes around the country, walks into churches of all different denominations, and tries to make the case for atheism. Okay? And he's mocking their faith. This is a guy, I've seen an interview on TV. The guy is like this when it comes to God. He's completely spiritually blind. He thinks it's nuts that anybody believes in God, much less Jesus. And why? The Holy Spirit has not worked faith in his heart. He is spiritually dead and blind. Now the amazing thing is, if the Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul, had been a persecutor of the church, if he could be converted, Bill Maher could be converted. Stranger things have happened. So when you see a guy like that, you don't hate him. You're filled with pity for the guy because he's got no reason to live. And you pray that God brings somebody into his life. What an amazing thing if he would actually become a Christian and the Spirit would work in his life. So the work of the Holy Spirit is astounding when you think about all these millions and billions of people coming to faith in Christ. and they're reading the Bible, and they're praying, and you realize, whoa, the Holy Spirit is very powerful, way beyond our comprehension.
Okay, now, if you look at page 113, now in your textbook, and take your Bible and turn, look at the top page 113, it says John chapter 13. Let's spend some time in the Gospel of John before the break, and then we'll look at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Now you see there, at the top of page 113, it says the ministry of love, the promise of the Holy Spirit. It says John 13, and under that it says John 14. We're not going to read John 13. John 13 was the ministry of love, and this is on page 900 in your Bible. John 13 is all about Jesus washing their feet. He foretells Judas is going to betray him, the new commandment to love one another, and he also tells Peter, by the way, you're also going to deny me, Peter. But then in John 14, after Jesus explains to them in verses 1 through 6, in verse 6 especially, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He explains this to Thomas and the disciples. And then Philip in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long that you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, through Jesus, we know the work of the Father. But because Jesus is about to ascend, how are we going to hear, left here on earth, how are we going to know about the work of the Father? Jesus is foretelling the work of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14, 15 through 17. Jessica, you feel like reading? Can you read John 14, 15 through 17?
If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
The Father is going to send the helper. That's the word paraclete or counselor. He's also called the Spirit of truth, and he'll dwell in you. Then go down to verses 25 through 27. How's your voice today, Judy? Do you want to read that for us? 25 through... Thank you. 25 through 27.
These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
Okay, here he's called again the Helper. It's called the Holy Spirit, and here is the inspiration of the New Testament. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So that when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John start writing these events down, the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance the times that Jesus did this and that, and that's why we have the New Testament. Now, if you keep going through here, he talks a lot about he is the vine and we are the branches. Go to chapter 15 of John 15. And go all the way to the very end of John chapter 15. And look at verse 26 and 27. Feels like reading that. Anybody? Feel like? Mitchell, read that for us. John 15, 26 and 27.
But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning.
Jesus is for... This is the deal. They didn't know at the time what Jesus was talking about. He is foretelling future events. They don't realize that very soon, Jesus is going to be crucified, raised, ascend into heaven, and all of a sudden, Jesus will be gone. And they're going to be wondering, what do we do now? We think Ascension Day was a great day, and it was. But if you had been the disciples and trained for 3 years, and you saw him crucified, all right, he's risen. All right, he's risen. Where did he go? All of a sudden, he's ascended. Now what do we do? Oh, remember what Jesus said? Stay in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes. Now, that's what we're going to do the second half of class. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2. When the Spirit came, he's foretelling, he's going to bring to remembrance all that I told you so the church can be founded upon God's Word. He's not going to leave them without help. And so he's telling them ahead of time of the work of the Spirit. Okay, now turn to page 114 and 115. You'll see here that over on page, especially page 115, the second half of page 115, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And down at the second, the paragraph at the bottom, the work of love is not their work, but the work of the Holy Spirit. The disciples did not understand what it meant to love one another as Jesus loved them until the Holy Spirit was given to them. And then when the Spirit was given, they understood. So when we in the second half of class, we look at Acts chapter 2, their eyes were opened and the Holy Spirit helped them to realize, ah, this is what the work of Jesus was all about. Turn to page 116, 117. Page 116, we've already read the third article in the meaning. But if you turn to page 118 through 121, what I want you to do is take your pencil, halfway down page, this is the Word and Sacrament, the Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Go halfway down page 118, circle, put a number 1 by the Institution of Holy Baptism, and you see how we're going here. Go to page 119 and circle number 2, the mark of the faithful preaching of the gospel. Circle number 3, institution and promise of the Lord's Supper. And then continue on page 120 and 121 with the number 4 and circle institution and promise of holy absolution. And then number 5, circle the ministers of Christ are bound to the authority of Scripture. This is pastors who are proclaiming this word. And then go back to page 118 and let me reiterate again what I said about the means of grace. Look at the top of page 118 and underline the first 2 sentences on page 118 at the top. Word and Sacrament, Ministry of the Holy Spirit as I read them. The Holy Spirit does His work through the faithful preaching of the Word of God and the administration of the sacraments of Christ according to His institution. Through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments, the Holy Spirit calls sinners to faith in Christ, bestows upon us His righteousness. And it goes on to talk about the liturgy, which we'll talk about later in the class tonight, something from the hymnal. The idea is, you can't wait for the Holy Spirit by just standing around and waiting for Him to hit me with a lightning bolt or something. The Holy Spirit works, here it says, in baptism. All authority, this is page 118, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing. Then over page 119, it's necessary for the Christ to suffer and die, repentance and remission to be preached. God intended for us to be baptized to hear with our ears preaching. Number 3, He intended for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul to receive Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Him for the forgiveness of sins. On page 120, He wanted to have people proclaim to you, peace be with you, I forgive you your sins. That's the Bible passage there, forgive the sins, they are forgiven them. The words of absolution. And then over on page 121, He intended for us to have pastors to take the Scriptures, to instruct us, to correct us, human beings to be pastors in His church. He intended all along for this to be the way that He created the church. You know what's so beautiful about it? He does extraordinary things through ordinary things. Through water, bread, wine, a book, a humble pastor preaching. He is creating faith through ways the world would have thought, boy, if I was God, I would have done it in a lot more showy way than that. But God, no. God wants to fool people. He's going to come in simple ways. He comes in humility and word and water, bread and wine, preaching and teaching in complete humility
the Spirit's working. So the unbeliever comes in and sees somebody up there. Why are they pouring water on that person and saying a couple words? Why are these people up there kneeling and taking something in their mouth? And it doesn't look like any big thing is going on, but we know God's doing amazing things through ordinary means. And that's so comforting to know God uses ordinary people and ordinary means, so you don't have to go out there and try to find it yourself. It's so beautiful to know that that's how the Spirit works. What we're going to do is take a break now. And then, as we consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we're going to spend time in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And we're also going to look at the significance of the liturgy and three different readings on Sunday morning. Old Testament, Epistle, and Gospel. So let's stop there and take a breather and a break.